Welcome back, folks. This is going to be another exciting episode where we're studying the Bible verse by verse. And this one, we're still in Genesis, and we're still in chapter 1, and we're still on verse 1, and we got a little bit into 2 last time. But we're going to take a little bigger picture of everything, and this is really going to be good because we're going to have Joel J.D. Williams with us on the show, and he's going to ask us a lot of questions, too. So, hey, Joel!
Hey, David. I'm going to jump in here real quick just to let everybody know. We are working on our issues with video audio. I think we got most of them worked out, and I think we'll have everything pretty much locked in by the another show or two. But anyway, David, I'm just going to sit on the couch, and going to listen to you, let you do this. Remember, guys, if you would like to see these things in visual form, you can always go to www.lastchristian.net. www.lastchristian.net, or of course you can catch us in audio form on radio stations all over the world. And Mr. Paxton, it is all yours, sir, as we go verse by verse.
The whole globe. So I hope you got your hot chocolate over there.
Yeah.
So this is cool. We're going to talk a little bit today about there's only two world views. Okay. There's always that dichotomy. Devil tries to steal it with yin and yang, and then there's always that light and dark kind of thing, but it had to have an origin from somewhere, and we get it from creation. So the two worldviews that are prevalent out there, and every single worldview boils down to one of these, and think about it and see if you can guess it before I say it. Okay, let's see if you guessed. One of them is everything got here by accident. It just randomly showed up. That would include, an infinite amount of this and that, or chaos, and just everything came into being. Or there was some dude who designed it and said, hey, I'm going to make this. So we're going to examine both of them. And let's start with the first one, because that's really easy to debunk.
Okay.
And that would be, but everything happened by accident. So what you're saying is basically once upon a time there was nothing, but wait a minute, it couldn't be once upon a time either because there was no time. So, but all of a sudden out of nowhere, something was there. So nothing was there and then it exploded and now we have everything. So
makes no
sense. You need more faith to believe that than you need to believe that there was a God who designed everything. So that's just crazy. So basically your God becomes nothing. That everything you see and feel and touch and think, all of your being and everything that ever happened in this universe was a result of nothing. And that's just patently absurd. You know, and not only that, it's an insult to the creator, wouldn't you say, Joel?
Yeah, I would. And, you know, one thing, somebody said this years ago, and I don't remember who they were aiming it at, but I think it fits a couple of different people now. And that is that, let's say, and I'm just picking a guy out of randomness here, okay? What was that guy's name? He just won a Senate seat, I think it was, and Fetterman.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
The Adams family.
Yeah. I mean, I think he would be one of these people that believed that, you know, things just blew up.
Where's Rip's sweats?
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't. And I'll apologize to him in advance if I'm mischaracterizing him. Okay. But I've got a feeling that he also believes in evolution. He believes that he came from an ape. And here's the deal. A few years ago, somebody said this, you know, and I said, you know, okay, so-and-so said, I'm inserting Fetterman's name here. Fetterman said that, you know, evolution is responsible for it. There is no God, you know, evolution is responsible for it, and that he came from an ape. And Mr. Fetterman, I do believe you. Okay, you have convinced me. You came from an ape. Yes, you did. You yourself, yes. But us, the rest of us, we're God's creation.
The humans, no.
I had to throw that. I've been wanting to throw that one in for months. Okay, go ahead, David.
It's the little boy. He went to his mom and said, "Mom, how do we get here?" And said, "Well, God created a special and this and that." And he goes, "Well, Dad's been telling me that we evolved from apes." So she says, "Oh, son, he's just talking about his side of the family."
Yeah, right. There you go.
So, and that's the case. I mean, that's just absurd. If you're walking along the beach and you see letters written in the sand, you know somebody wrote those letters in the sand.
Right.
Well, why is that?
Right.
You know, because did it happen randomly? Well, millions and trillions and you know, infinite amount of monkeys typing on typewriters. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It's not going to have an encoded, intelligent message in there. Okay.
Makes
and
sense.
The thing about intelligence, it has to be preordained, pre-agreed upon. Like even Paul Revere, one if by land, two if by sea. Well, that wouldn't it would mean nothing if they hadn't agreed to that term ahead of time.
Right.
Because if you just went and you saw, oh, there's a light up there in that building, if it didn't have a pre-agreed upon a decipher
meaning,
then it could not. Yeah. It just would mean nothing.
Yeah, I mean, so you can turn on lights and ring bells and everything else, but if nobody knows what it means, it's worthless.
Exactly. Like even in like we're reading the Bible, there has to be a pre-agreed upon what does this letter mean and this letter. And when you put them together, what sound does it make? And what does that mean when I say praise God? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't mean anything unless you have a pre-agreed upon intelligent decipher.
Right.
So just by that very nature alone, just it just would be duh. Whereas, okay. Here's DNA, which is 3.2 billion letters long, and it's one word, which basically writes out your entire life and how you're designed, and a whole city inside of a cell. It's designed. So to think it just came out of randomness is just absurd. But some people you can't convince with that either. So you have to ask a few questions. You know, well, okay, well, if it came out, you know, just by randomness, why do you think that? So there's four questions that we have that go right into that and say, okay, well, these are the four questions everybody has, no matter what their worldview. Right. That is number one, who am I? Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Who am I? Where did I come from?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I here? And where am I going? Would you agree that's the four basic questions?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think not only that, but, I whether you're Christian, non-Christian, whatever, I mean, everybody's got to go through it at some point. I mean, you hear it as in your life as you're growing up, and, you know, you don't know who you are. You don't know what you're about yet. You know, that's what going to school and being around people and, you know, figuring out what you like and what you don't like, that's what it's all about, right?
So if you think everything happened by accident, then who am I? Well, you're just an accident.
I don't like that.
Yeah. So you're pretty much worthless. You're just an accident. Who cares if you're here or if you're not here?
Right. Yeah. Like I said, it's I don't like that.
Oh, but you know, we built a social norm and we have family. Okay. Well, where did that come from? So, and where did I come from? Again, the same.
David, I don't like intelligent design. I've heard that, you know, and the very first time I heard him say that, I thought it was another scientific jab at God. I really did. You know, I mean, I want to hear creation. God created. I don't want to hear intelligent design. Okay. The intelligent design is that God created the heavens and the earth, the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that, maybe I'm being overly picky there, but that term, you know, just has bothered me from the very first time I ever heard it. It really, go ahead.
They were trying to, somehow eliminate God, because they've come to a point where they realize that, okay, it's absurd to think we just happened by accident. Mm-hmm. It just is. And, you know, the big thing about the 20th century is they figured out that the universe is not infinite. So it kind of blew away the whole theory. So where did I come from? Well, it's not infinite.
Wait. What do you mean it's not infinite?
What do you mean it's not infinite?
Why?
There's a limit to the size of how big it is. But get this, there's a limit to how small it is as well.
Explain. Now you got to get into some detail. Okay, explain that one to me, Ricardo. Lucy. Yeah,
all right, Ricky, explain. Lucy, explain. So where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? All of that equals nothing. You're just an accident. So, you know, why even care about what other people think or what you're doing or how bad? So this is what happens. Society goes into chaos because they all think, well, what difference does it make? Yeah, I'm going to die and that's it. Okay.
Could that be exactly what they want people to think?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that you don't really matter. It really doesn't matter. So what the heck? I mean.
Right.
My mind's going a million.
Go ahead. Yeah, it gets even deeper than that. We'll get into the limit of size and it's not being infinite in a minute. But remember we talked about Pike on the last show.
Right.
You know, and how they want to introduce atheism because it is so absurd, but we're going to disillusion Christians and they're going to fight against each other until they are tired of fighting and they both give up, and then we're going to introduce Lucifer. Mm-hmm. This is their goal. So they don't really believe in atheism, so to speak, but they do believe that their Lucifer is the true heir apparent, if you would. So that's kind of where they're going with it. But they're starting to see. There's a book out there called In 6 Days, and it literally has 50 secular scientists who say the universe, what in their fields, in all in different fields, that say, yes, by this design, it looks like this was created in a 6-day period. Mm-hmm. And the earth is very young.
Okay.
There's 50 of them, and they're secular. They're not even, you know, Bible nuts like us.
Uh-huh.
So that's a really good book to read. So the scientific community, once they figured out DNA in the 50s, they're like, oh, wow, this is like a book. Because the simple cell idea that Darwin had, oh, it's just a simple cell. They thought it was a blob, and it just showed up out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. But now they're looking at a cell, and the cell is more complex than a city. So you can have an entire city. The cell has waste management. It has roads. It has you know, a whole a legal system, basically, where it says, okay, you have to do this and you have to do this, and it's all written out in the DNA. This is your job. This is your job, and everything goes over here.
Mm-hmm.
And it rebuilds itself in a couple of minutes.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Rebuild itself. Oh, let's make another one. Chip. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, nothing blowing up from nothing ain't going to do that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so we're starting to realize that this whole accident thing is not really working, but they don't like the idea of God because then they got to answer him to him. So enter the aliens.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah, here we go.
That's where we're going with that.
Yeah.
So... but there's still a whole bunch of people who they drank the Kool-Aid, and there they are. They're still spouting evolution. Oh, it's scientific. Oh, haven't you been taught? Oh, we've known this for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, you don't even know your own scientific community anymore. The godless scientific community, they don't believe in evolution.
Right.
But you're still pushing it because they don't care about you. They just, oh yeah, let them just keep doing that
because
they look like fools and that's what they want. So you really look like a fool to think that we're here by accident and it's evolution. You just are unlearned. It's as simple as that.
Right.
Yeah.
And well, you know, people I've like to seen call themselves- over many months now, I have looked at the declining numbers of people that believe in God, the declining numbers of people that are going to church. and mm-hmm. the increasing numbers of people that go to churches, like mega churches and things like that, that basically say, hey, you know, if you want to do that, that's okay. God will forgive you for that no matter what. You know, no.
Oh, the greasy grace, yeah.
Or that everybody goes to heaven eventually or whatever. You know, I mean, yeah, it's time. It's time for the rapture. It's time for the end of the world because everything is spinning out of control really quick and we're going downhill at warp speed. That's opinion, but, you know, that's I think.
Yep. Go ahead. I like this, too, because let's check this out. The people like to say, oh, I'm agnostic. You know what that word is in the Latin?
What?
Ignoramus.
Ignoramus. There you go. You know,
it's like, why don't you call yourself by the Latin name? Okay. Oh, that's a good idea. It's ignoramus.
I'm gonna throw this in here real quick, and I'll probably make somebody mad when I do it. Okay, but I'm gonna do it anyway. Ignoramus, a perfect word for this guy, by the way. I watch if I'm going to watch national news. Okay, One America News is a good outlet, and there's a couple others. But anyway, the easy one that I can get to is Fox. Okay.
Okay.
And so, you know, watch Fox News for years, and then all of a sudden they dump. Who was it? Tucker Carlson, I think.
Oh yeah. Okay. They didn't like him.
They got, well, first of all, they got rid of who was his name? Bill.
Yeah.
Anyway, they got rid of one guy. Okay. Then mm-hmm. now they got rid of Tucker, who, by the way, had the number one show on Fox News. Got rid of him. And now they have plugged in Greg Gutfeld. Mm-hmm. He's on the 5. Okay. So that comes on at 4:00 in the Central Time Zone. I avoid mm-hmm. it. And now they've stuck Gutfeld on at, I think it's 10:00 my time, maybe 9:00 my time. I don't know. But mm-hmm. anyway, here's the deal. This is the reason that I call him ignorant. He's an ignoramus. Number one, he's made it very, very clear that he's agnostic. So he's already admitting that he is an idiot. Okay. So he's already admitted that. But what makes me so dadgum mad, David, is that if I'm going to watch a news show, I want to see a news show. I don't want to see a comedy act. And Greg Gutfeld can find something funny with the Twin Towers coming down. He jokes about everything, and he's the most worthless person that Fox News has. Fox News, listen to me carefully. Fire Gutfeld. Okay. All right. That's it. I'm sorry. I had to have that rant. Go ahead.
He is snarky, though. I mean, you got to
yeah,
get him
he's snarky. Yeah, I can't stand that guy.
Oh man, that's funny. So they're moving away from that, but the timing is perfect because they brought in their atheists, and now they got the Christians and the atheists fighting, keeping their eye off what they're really doing in the back.
Right.
Just like this past week, you know, they didn't want the list to get out. So we came up with, you know, aliens in Miami that were 10 feet tall, right? That took all the eyes off the real news, which was, you know, the list that, you know, we all know about. Mm-hmm. So it's just absurd to think that anything happened by accident, but you can't just say that. Let's actually prove it.
Yeah.
So Max Planck, written like in 1912, something like that, in the early part of the 20th century. He actually was a scientist, but he is a father of what's called quantum physics.
Okay.
And it's the most provable thing, even though it's the most absurd science, it's the most provable one and the most demonstrable. But quantum, that literally means everything's in a quanta. Everything is not analog, just straight through and infinite. It's literally pieces. Okay. Everything is quantized.
Okay.
That's why it's quantum dynamics, quantum physics, you know, quantum everything, because it's little pieces. Well, that gives in a digital universe, everything, the analog is straight, like a straight line, like, but okay. Digital is like maybe a piano with individual notes and they're distinct. Bink, 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 bink. Every single thing in the universe is digital, and they proved it. Like when Hubble, they measured the redshift of the stars, and they're like, oh, everything's moving away from us, therefore it must have been a big bang because of the redshift. The redshift has longer the light waves, so it looks like that it's all red, which means they're all going, if it was coming closer, moving towards us, it would be more blue. But that can be attributed to a couple of other things. Number one, that the speed of light is slowing down. So that's been demonstrated as well. Even though people think you're crazy for saying that, they thought Newton was crazy too. So the speed of light slowing down would give a red shift to everything. But it would also say that God flung everything out into space like he did. So you have those two possibilities. But they figured out the red shift was in digital units. It wasn't just, hey, it's getting slower and slower, like the Doppler effect, you know, when the horn's going by. The red shift was actually in quantized sections.
Okay.
Which just blew their minds, because it's like, well, the entire universe is digital, and they measured to the end of it. Something.
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around this analog versus digital thing.
Well, analog, just imagine a violin, as opposed to a piano, bing, bing, bing,
yeah,
bing,
okay.
Bing.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. And that would, what it would be, is like a wave.
Okay.
You know? So the thing about it is you can have digital stuff, like light acts like both a particle and a wave, depending on how you're looking at it and who's looking at it. It's really weird. Light is like crazy. How God make this? But also small. There's a limit to smallness as well. If you want to look it up, it's Max Planck, P-L-A-N-C-K, and you can get all the formulas and everything else. I'm not going to go into that right now because it's big, long, you know, quantum physics discussion.
Yeah. You know, go way over my head. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. The universe is only this wide, okay? And they're like, well, what's outside of it?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. This is it. It's literally.
I would just say, I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah. Well, it's eternity. You know, it's another dimension that we have no insight into, other than it's there.
Right.
But it's not space, and it's not time. It's that, and that's another weird thing. But you know, we think, oh, we live in space and time, so everything must be in space and time. Well, no. You are a tiny little speck in this universe. How can you even understand anything? You've been here, you know, what, max 120 years for some people. Mm-hmm. How could you possibly understand the universe in its size and its depth and its age and all that? You can't. So don't even try.
Right.
But there's eternity. But they have mathematically discovered that it is finite. Mm-hmm. And it's finite small. You can't get small. Like you imagine you have a line and you cut it in half, right? And then you cut it in half. And then you cut it in half.
Yeah.
And then you cut it in half. And then you cut it in half. Well, it turns out when you cut it to more than, now there's 33 zeros, 10 to the negative 33 centimeters. It loses locality.
Yeah, yeah.
So all the protons in the universe literally become everywhere at once when it gets smaller than that, which just blows your mind. But it just shows you get smaller than that. Now you snuck outside the time-space continuum, and you're literally in eternity, which is everywhere. And Einstein called it spooky motion at a distance, because you can literally twist an atom over here, and all the way on the other side of the universe, its corresponding atom would twist at precisely the same time. So if they're like this, if you twist this one's going to turn no matter how far away it is, and it's going to do it instantly. And don't ask how to explain how to do that, but that's what they figured out.
Well, let me ask you,
that's going to take a while
too. Let me ask you a question that you're not going to know the answer to. Okay. How many scientists do you think really believe the stuff they're pumping? You know,
they don't.
I mean, I agree with you. I don't
Don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they do either.
They will they'll lose their tenure if they go against the narrative.
Okay.
That's the problem.
That makes sense.
They have to go with the narrative. And there's the old adage, you know, people who don't know teach. And I'm a teacher, so I get that all the time. It's like, no, I'm just showing you what I learned. Okay.
Yeah. But I taught really too. I taught people how to work on American Airlines computer. I taught people how to do airline stuff. At one time I was a teacher too, David. I stood up in front of a classroom as well as in front of station personnel mm-hmm. or whatever. But you know, what they're pumping is just a bunch of garbage, and it's amazing.
They don't know. They got their pipes, they got their hats, and they just look how intelligent I am. I'm
looking at the well, you know,
and they know nothing. Thinking themselves to be wise, they became fools.
I know when I was in school, you know, going back to college or whatever, you know, and you walk into your freshman, you walk into your very first classroom, and it's like 10 times bigger than anything you've ever been to before. And you go over and you have a seat, and this guy walks in, and he's like, you know, I don't want to use the word God, okay, but he is like a, you know, this is professor. He's supposed to be the most brilliant guy in the world, basically, is the way that, you know, an incoming freshman would look at a professor. And I had done that. And then I've had those brilliant professors say something that was so idiotic, like there is no God, or, you know.
And try and ridicule you.
You know, I'm paying for this, or I wasn't, but anyway, if I had been, I would have been complaining about it. But, you know, I don't know. Why do they pump that? I don't get it. I mean, you said that they would lose their tenure. That's correct. But it's like the Harvard, person, the lady that, was in charge, president of Harvard. Mm-hmm. She finally resigned. Okay. Finally resigned. And she said that the conservatives were using a new tool to discredit people, and this tool was, you know, plagiarism. That's a new tool to destroy somebody. No, it's crazy. And the stuff that they come up with, David, is unbelievable. Okay, all right. So I'm going to plagiarize 18 articles that somebody wrote, and then I'll apply to Harvard, and they'll take me. And then when they find out I did that, they're going to keep me and say, oh, that's okay. Oh, come on. All right, we've come to the end of the first half of Last Christian. We'll be back right after a very short break with the second half. Hang in there with us. We'll be right back.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Nick Harper. Donald Trump has appeared at a trial in Washington, D.C., where his lawyers have been pushing for presidential immunity. His lawyers say he can't be tried in a federal election interference case because his actions, while president, make him immune. Ever since Caroline Malone reports from Washington.
An historic case in unprecedented times. A former U.S. president trying to argue he's immune from prosecution and can't be tried in events related to the January 6th Capitol riot. All this while Donald Trump is campaigning to be leader once again. His lawyers are likely to argue there's already been an impeachment hearing on it in Congress, and while the House found him guilty of inciting an insurrection, the Senate let him off. Whether Trump is found immune or not, the case is likely to go to the Supreme Court, which may mean delaying the planned start of the actual trial from March 4th. Caroline Malone, Washington.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has met with Israeli leaders in a bid to calm regional tensions. Washington has been pressuring its ally to do more to protect civilians in Gaza amid concerns over a broader spillover of the conflict. FSN's U.S. correspondent William Denslow reports.
According to the State Department, Antony Blinken discussed ways of promoting regional integration with Israel's President Isaac Herzog. The two also talked about how to ensure Israel's security while also working towards the establishment of an independent Palestinian state. Blinken has also met with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as concerns over the humanitarian situation in Gaza grow. United Nations officials warn that the health system in the Palestinian enclave is collapsing at a very rapid pace. This is Blinken's fourth visit to the region since the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel. During this trip, he's also met with leaders from Jordan, Saudi Arabia, the UAE and Qatar.
United and Alaska Airlines say that they've found loose parts on multiple grounded Boeing 737 MAX 9 aircraft. It's raised new concerns about the manufacturing process for the passenger planes. Top Boeing executives will be hosting an all-hands safety meeting with staffers on Tuesday. FSN's Jody Jacobs has more.
When the plug door of the Boeing 737 MAX 9 blew off in mid-air, it stunned the world. But once US authorities had grounded all MAX 9 aircraft, Alaska Airlines said its technicians found loose hardware on some of the other airlines' Boeing 737 MAX 9 aircraft. The discovery was made as technicians began preparing sections of the aircraft for inspections by the Federal Aviation Administration. United Airlines undertook a similar investigation and have said it too found loose bolts and other issues with the aircraft. Meanwhile, Boeing's stock price fell nearly 8% during Monday's trading. Jody Jacobs, New York.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
So we're back, because we just never seem to have enough time on these shows. We got little out there.
It's amazing, but, isn't it? Yeah, it's amazing how fast time goes. Go ahead.
So I know we were talking about the whole space-time continuum, which is pretty cool, and how it couldn't possibly be an accident. But let's talk into that. Since the universe is digital, then that means it's finite. Okay, and you can't get any smaller than that 10 to the negative 33, and time is 10 to the negative 43 seconds. So you literally have frames of life that go by, but instead of, like, you know, if you got a good camera, 4K at 60 frames per second, just imagine life going by at 10 to the 43 zeros second.
Yeah.
That's how many frames there are. Wow. And that's where this whole thing started with, I believe that's the twinkling of an eye that the rapture talks about. Right. It's between these frames, these movie frames of life that we live in. It's between one of those where he says, okay, our bodies have changed.
Now, you may have already said this and I just missed it, but what is the time thing here? You know, you're talking about digital versus analog, and I'm getting that.
Yeah.
Chopping it up, I'm getting that.
Yeah, quantum means is pieces. Yeah.
Understand quantized. That. Is there a time frame in between frame A and frame B and frame C, and, you know?
Yes, and that is 10 to the negative 43 seconds.
Okay,
so that's
okay.
You got to cut a second up into one and then 43 zeros after it. You cut it into that many frames.
Okay. So, yeah, I wanted to clarify that, because you had said in a previous show that, you know, that's genius on God's part.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise there, because it allows him to come in that rapture, in that blink of the eye moment, mm-hmm. In between those front, which he couldn't do if the universe was set up as, like, what you were portraying it as analog, right? Versus digital, right?
Right. He couldn't do it. So everything's set up, and the, you know, and outside between those frames is literally eternity. So he's, in the way we think, he's literally got all the time in the world.
Yeah.
Between those two frames to do whatever he wants.
That
so he can literally one by one go and change everybody's body throughout the entire world and spend a lifetime with them, and then come back before the next frame comes. And we wouldn't know it.
We wouldn't know it. Yeah. It's incredible.
How he knows how many hairs are on your head.
That is incredible.
He's eternal.
Right.
Literally, between each space of time, he can sit there and count the hairs on your head.
Mm. Yeah, and has.
For every last person on the planet, because it's eternity. So the only infinite thing we have is God, who happens to be the designer.
Correct.
But they're trying to turn the designer out, right, and say that, oh, just time is infinite, so time is now their God. You see where we're going? All right. So time is infinite, space is infinite. So now the time-space continuum, and that's when the Bible says they worship the creation rather than the creator, because now they give all the infinite attributes of God to the creation. And they're saying, this is now our God.
Well, let me ask you this in that vein, because you know, it's all about right now. You know, AOC, I think when she first went in, everybody's like, well, how did this idiot become somebody in government? And now you got one political party that's bending over backwards to try and assist her with everything that they're doing. I mean, it's
Well, they put her in there to push what they want to do, and they know she was dumb enough to do it. So
Yeah, well, I mean, again, now we're expressing personal opinions here. I'm not
sure what that has to do with creation, but okay.
Well, yeah, but I mean, as far I'm talking about AOC, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. I'm going to come up with some new names for AOC. one of these days. And by the way, AOC, if you happen to be listening, you're invited on the show. We'll bring you on here. I'll give you the whole hour, and we'll interview you. But I'm going to tell you this, and this goes for anybody that comes on the show, anybody. If we ask you a question, and you answer it with your spin, in other words, you don't answer the question, my response, I'm really good at this, and I'll hit you with it, I promise you. Okay. All I'm going to say is, you know what? That is probably the best answer to a question I didn't ask that I have ever heard. Now then, you want to answer the question that I ask you? And I think really and truly, I think if more people in the mainstream media would do that, we'd have less problems and more action. That's just my observation.
Probably.
Just my observation. Remember now, I am a member of the U.S. Press Association. I can interview people and have. Go ahead.
There we go. All right. So action and or design. Let's get back to the matter at hand here.
Yeah.
Now, if it's designed by a designer, you would probably look around and say, well, he's very creative. Mm-hmm. He's full of love. We see love throughout the universe. Everyone wants to love this, love that, right? Mm-hmm. So who am I becomes, well, I was designed by a loving father. Okay. And where did I come from? Well, he created me before the foundation of the world is what his Bible says. Mm-hmm. It was written in his books. So right. We have our DNA was written in a book along with what his plans for our life was. All right. Why am I here? Well, to have fellowship with him. He created to have sons and daughters.
Right.
And unfortunately, the vast majority of people choose not to do that. But a loving God has to give you choice, or else it wouldn't be loving. Oh, you have to love me. Well, it doesn't work. All right. And where am I going? Well, that's a really good question. All right. You have the choice there. There's either eternity with the creator of the universe, and we call that heaven. Mm-hmm. But it's literally going to be a new earth eventually. And we're going to live on that earth and rule and reign with him. And it's going to be in eternity. So time will never pass. We're just mm-hmm. going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even imagine what that looks like. Or if you choose to live without him, you got a problem.
Big problem.
Because, yeah, here, it's not that he's going to send you to hell. He doesn't want to send you to hell, which is why he loved the world and sent his son. So if you choose him, you can live with him. That's what he wants. He's not willing that any should perish, but all that come to repentance and learn his righteousness. He Amen. Gave you that opportunity, no matter who you are, no matter when you lived. So there's no excuse, because it's all written in creation. And we're going to see that as we move on.
Yeah.
But if you're living without God, well, God is love. So, okay, we take that out. Now you're living with no love. Okay. All right. Well, God is light. Okay. Now you're living in darkness because you chose to be without God. Well, God is the water of life. Mm. All right. So now you got no water. He's the bread of life. Oh, well, now you got no bread. Mm. Okay. So all the goodness that is God, you said, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the breath of life. He put his breath in you. Oh, you don't want that? You can't breathe. So you'll spend eternity gasping for your next breath, okay?
Well,
and peace. So you'll spend eternity in turmoil and chaos because you chose not to be with God. That's dumb, people.
David, I've got to say this. You know, and this was said in a church service I went to, and I've said it on air a couple of times also, and that is that for everyone, you know, when you die. if you're a Christian, then the closest thing to hell that you will ever experience was your time on earth. And if you're a non-Christian and you die, the closest thing to heaven that you'll ever see was the earth. That's because you got, and David is laying them out, and I'm going to lay them out a little bit more. No food, no water, no happiness at all. Think about the worst pain you ever had, and toothache, headache, stomach ache, broken foot, broken arm, whatever. You got that.
All at once.
All at once. Forever. Never stops. And then on top of that, you're reminded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even though that doesn't exist anymore. In other words, for infinity, you are constantly reminded of the choices that you made, that you had the chance, but you don't have that chance anymore. Constant regret. That's the worm. The worm never dies. Okay. I had to put that in there, David, because I want to really emphasize that point you were making, because I think it was a very, very powerful one and something that people need to pay close attention to, because you can avoid it all by simply accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's what the show is all about. Okay. Because just like there's a last play in every football game, there is a last person to accept Jesus Christ as Savior before the rapture of the church. And if you're still around after the rapture happens, yes, you can be saved, but you have to go through at least part of the Great Tribulation period. That's 7 years, the worst time that earth will ever see and ever will see again. And you can avoid that by simply saying, Lord, I am a sinner. I ask you for your forgiveness. I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose on the third day, just like he said he would. I know he was seen by more than 500 people at the same time. I know he has ascended to heaven. He sits at your right hand, and he's waiting on God to say, go get your church. That's every Christian living and dead. He will take them off of the earth. Then the wrath comes. And then after that 7 years passes by, then we, all of us Christians, we will join Jesus. We'll come back, and we will destroy what is on earth right then. We'll throw the Antichrist away. Will establish the Lord's kingdom for 1,000 years, and Satan pops back up again, and we take him out again, and then eternity kicks in. But anyway, that's a whole lot of talking, but what I want you to do is understand this. You can avoid bad things if you'll simply accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know in your heart, you know, I'm talking to everybody out there right now that said that they don't believe in God. You really do. I don't care what you say. You really do. You just don't want to. You do believe, you just don't want to. And I'm telling you, you better make the right choice now, because the wrong choice is eternity, and it is hell, and it's something that you don't want any part of. I promise you, and you know it. You know it. Hit your knees right now and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's all I got to say about it. David, you're up.
Okay. So we can just say it's an accident, but we've just demonstrated that it's impossible to be an accident, because it quantum physics. You can go look it up. Max Planck, P-L-A-N-C-K, figured that it's a finite universe in both directions, big and small. Therefore, it has to be ordered. So there is no such thing as randomness anymore either. And that's kind of a crux of evolution is, oh, this random changes and these random mutations and whatnot.
Yeah, I want you to get into random a little bit, because random to me would be, you know, and this is a non-biblical thing. Random, you know, is okay. You're just, you know, this, you're different from you, and you're different from you, and you're different from you. What, you know, I mean, that's random, right?
No.
Correct. Go ahead, David. Tell them about it.
So random is what they use that to say, okay, well, it's like a random, you roll the dice and it's random.
Right.
But you can actually prove that it's not. If you randomly roll any amount of dice or whatever, over time, you will still see a pattern. Even if it's huge, a huge pattern, you will see a pattern. And that's because the universe is digital. And that's been proven. Matter of fact, there was even a book of random numbers, it's called, because like a computer-generated random number, you will find a pattern in it. It'll be very hard because it's big, but it's still, you will be able to find it. there is no such thing as randomness. And his book was printed and it had like 500 pages of just random numbers. And people bought it like crazy because when they do experiments and things, they want these random numbers. Mm-hmm. But even in that book, there's that tiny bit of a pattern that's in there, but it was useful enough in their experiments to do it. So if you can't have random, you cannot have the amino acids that to even form that can come together to even be the building blocks for a cell. So it's like building a building. You can't even have enough amino acids that come together to make a brick, let alone build an entire building with this bricks.
Yeah.
All right. Because they all have to be right-handed. Okay. And then if you have a left-handed amino acid, it pretty much destroys everything. The entire cell structure will completely destroy itself. And anyone who knows about, you know, bio stuff would know what that means. But you can't. And if that the only way, if it's random, it's going to be half right-handed and half left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So random is not going to be able to even produce an amino acid to build a cell. And people say, oh, well, amino acids appear in it. Well, sure they do. But then you have to combine it and they all have to be the same. It's like, what are the odds of going out and into a crowd and every single person out of, you know, 5,000 people is right-handed?
Yeah, okay. I got two lefties in my house right now. I'm right-handed.
Yeah. So it's just the random just doesn't work by demonstration. Okay. Mm-hmm. However, design is everywhere. All right. Now we've talked about the Fibonacci sequence. Fibonacci was a mathematician in the 13th century, and he figured out there's a pattern in life. And it's real simple actually to figure it out. You take zero, and then the next number is one. You add them together. Zero plus one mm-hmm. is one. Mm-hmm. So you take the one and the one, you add it together, and you got two. Right. Then you take the last two again. So now you got two and one. Add them together, you got three.
Right.
So you take that letter, you know, three and two. The next one's five. Mm-hmm. Five and three is eight. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you know, just
so
keep going.
So on and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It turns out everything in the universe has that same pattern. You got the golden rectangle, you got the spiral, you know, it all follows a Fibonacci pattern. Everything has that series of numbers, and all of creation has that. Just look up Fibonacci in nature, Fibonacci, Fibonacci. Even if you spell it wrong, it'll come up because it's famous.
Okay.
So, but you'll see this pattern. So if there's pattern, there's design. If I drew a spiral on the beach, you're going to say, oh, somebody drew that.
Yeah.
It didn't just happen by accident.
Right.
So if you see a spiral in a snail shell, somebody made that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not to mention that it grows on its own, you know, and then it has life. And then it reproduces after its kind. I mean, it's all a design. Why doesn't two snails come together and make a lion? Because God designed and said, you will reproduce after your kind.
Yeah. Well, you know, that the reproduce thing there, you know, and I always have to preface this stuff by saying, you know, I'm not going to bash anyone that's gay. I'm not going to bash anyone that is transsexual or whatever they will call it these days. But I'm also not going to back away from the point that God says it's a sin.
Okay. Well, it's more than that. It's judgment. That's God's judgment for you turning against him.
Mm.
That's what he says in Romans. He has given you over to that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you are, then you need to examine yourself and say, what am I doing to deny God? Mm-hmm. All right. Why has he given me this? Why has he given me this delusion to think that something that was not designed is the right way?
Mm-hmm.
You really have to ask that question. What did I do to offend him?
Well, you know, I think some of it can be proven in the animal kingdom, right? I mean,
It's multiply. Yeah. How else are you going to do that?
Exactly. You know, it just, again, when you do all the work and you do all the research, then you have to use something that is very limited in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Common sense and reasoning skills. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. if you'll apply common sense and reasoning skills to both the Bible and those that say that the Bible is a comedy book, and you do your own research and you spend your own time, you do your own reading and you put it in your own, you know, I guarantee you, you know, you'll come around.
Book of fairy tales. Yeah. Okay. You haven't read it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Science always wins, always has. That still bothers me. Somebody said that, you know, and I said, well, no, no. God made science, but you know, again, what I told them is no, science doesn't always win. All science does is verify God wins. Okay, so
anyway. Mm-hmm. It does. God made everything. That matter of fact, all the great scientists through history were like, "Hey, God made this. Let's figure out how He made it."
Right.
Until just recently, then say, "Oh, well, science says evolution." Well, no, it doesn't. It's a lie to try and get people away from science. And again, that dichotomy. Now you're going to fight science with the word of God. It was never that way before.
Right.
Science always proved the word of God.
And it continues to do exactly that. Okay, David, you got 7 minutes and 45 seconds left, just to let you know.
I'm trying.
Okay.
So so now you got archaeology as a science, you know, geology as a science.
Yeah.
All of these sciences, when you look at them, prove that the Bible was true all along. So, but you just got to look at, but the only thing, they say science, they're like evolution. Oh, evolution, but evolution and the stars are really far away. Well, they're not really that far away, but even if they, you know, the speed of light slowing down or whatever, even if he put them out there, it's still God. He can put them out there at 16 billion light years away
wherever
if he wants to
put them. Yeah.
Yeah. He'll put them wherever he wants. So that doesn't prove that it started here and had to go way out there. It says he put them out there.
I think science is against God because they want to be God.
Yes, and it goes right back to, well, who's infinite? Oh, well, we have infinite time, infinite space, but who's the only one who's infinite? They traded, and they say, okay, well, we don't want God to be it, so let's make time and space infinite so that could be our God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it all goes back to. But here's some younger.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So we have enough time, but again, I want to prove evidence. It's just self-evident to me, but let's get some evidence. The moon dust, that's always fun and exciting. So they measured the rate of influx of moon dust and how much the sun decays the moon. And they expected to be several hundred feet of moon dust, which is why they put those big old landers on there. And it wound up, they only stirred up like 4 inches of moon dust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which again, prove that the Earth was very young. All right. So that's young Earth indicators there. Oil gushers. If the oil was down there for millions of years, it would have lost all the pressure already. Okay. And then what we found out is Rockefeller lied. These aren't fossil fuels. He was the one that started calling them fossil fuels because he wanted to make them rare.
Mm-hmm.
If they're rare, he can charge more money for it. But they're not. They come from the oil from the flinty rock. We talked about that. The Earth's magnetic field, okay, it's got a 1,400-year half-life. I don't know if people know what a half-life is, but basically, okay, it's at 1,000, and it takes 1,400 years to go to 500. It takes 1,400 years to go to 250, 1,400 years to go to 125, etc. It's called a half-life, and it works logarithmically. Well, if you back that up, everything would have fried, like a microwave, further back than 10,000 years. The Earth would have fried. People, the evolutionists use this. Well, the oceans are salty, so it must have been around millions of years. No, they measured the increase in salinity of the Earth. Let me see here. Boom. That's the river. Okay, so they measured the uranium, sodium, nickel, magnesium, silicon, potassium, copper, gold, molybdenum, and bicarbonate concentration in the oceans are much less than they expected if they were added to the oceans of thousands of millions of years. Okay, if you have billions of years, we would have had an extremely salty ocean at these rates.
Mm.
But they find if you extrapolate back on the rates again, now you're only going back 4,000 years because that goes to the flood.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Everything was broken up. Now it's literally a 4,000 year salinity rate. And well, some of these things evaporate. But
you mentioned the flood. You've mentioned flood a couple of times. And I want people to understand that, you know, the science still doesn't want to consider the flood as actually happening. And yet, go to the Grand Canyon, go anywhere in the world, really, where you've got, where you can see the levels of the earth. And science, science has proven that, hey, you know, there's a place here where this was underwater. Okay. And it happened over here too. And it happened over there too. And it happened back there too. And it all, and it happened at the same time, according to all scientific measurements. So, so how did the flood not happen if the entire flood, if the entire earth was covered in water that science has proven by the measurements that they took? How is the flood not reality? All right, David, you got 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was laid down over millions of years. No, it's proven that all those layers were laid down at the same period.
Right.
They were all laid down because there's fossils that go through all the layers. And that's what would happen when you have a flood. A wave would come in, deposit all the debris, and then the wave would come in, deposit another layer of debris, and it did that. And Mount St. Helens proved that. They have a mini Grand Canyon in Mount St. Helens that happened in a matter of weeks. And it's exactly the same pattern, just a little bit smaller.
Right.
Because it was a smaller flood.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, David, I don't know if
these are just some evidences.
I don't know if you got to half of what you wanted to talk to today. I got an idea.
I never do.
Probably not. You know, but that's the beauty of this show, because we'll be back next week unless the rapture happens.
And, yeah, well, then we'll do it in heaven.
Yeah, again, I want to warn people. You know, the rapture can happen at any time. There's not nobody knows it. Nobody knows the day and time except God. But when it happens, then, you know, if you happen to be watching our show and you're not a Christian, and let's say you live under a rock somewhere or whatever, and all of a sudden you see repeat after repeat after repeat, then you might want to look around, because chances are the rapture happened. Because once the rapture's here, you want, you know, some of you be happy as they all get out, and others will cry or whatever. But you're not going to see David and I after the rapture happens, because we gone, you know. And hopefully you'll be there with us, you know. And I want to get back into the float up thing again one of these days too, because that's really cool. I told you I've got it locked in my mind, David. I can't get rid of that image, right? So anyway, I'm looking forward to getting back into that again. You know, I can't think of anybody that's ever mentioned something like that to me before. I'm sure they're out there, but you know. I've seen those depictions.
The older guys,
I've seen the depictions of it, but you know, it never crossed my mind that that was really the way it worked, you know, or could be. I could be, because neither David or I know if we're going to float up, or if we're going to pop up, or if we're going to, you know, we don't know. We don't know. Only God knows that. There's certain things. The Bible doesn't tell me specifically, so I can't address it. Anyway, the next edition of Last Christian is going to be our weekly wrap-up. It is, of course, the review of the week. We'll look forward to that. That's our last show of the week. And then we hope that you'll join us exactly a week from today, no matter where you are watching us or listening to us, for another edition of Last Christian, our weekly in-depth Bible study with Mr. David Paxton. And David, we have come to the end here. So all we've got time to do now is say, good night, everybody. Good night. God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.